Good evening, folks from the world above. It's not often that a demon from the fiery pits of the underworld gets to join you, but tonight is a special night. In this episode, I'm here to share some devilishly delightful stories that might send a shiver down your spine, but will definitely leave you with a devilish grin. We'll take a journey into the slightly spooky and maybe even a tad comical side of the supernatural. So gather round, prepare to be entertained, and remember, it's all in good, diabolical fun. Welcome to a night of wickedly entertaining tales.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Demon, for that chilling intro. Go on back and grab yourself something to eat. We'll be here. We'll wait for you at the end of the episode. What's up, everyone? It's spooky season. I hope you all are out here carving pumpkins, making a spooky basket for your friends and loved ones, and binging some classic horror movies and TV shows. This year, I thought it'd be fun to tell some spooky stories. Not an original idea, I know, but it's something new to the show. I scrolled through the internet, more specifically Reddit, and found a couple of stories that I feel are worth sharing. So sit back, relax, grab your pumpkin, grab your spice, and let's get into it.
I love being stupid. So great to be stupid, and it is truly amazing. I can go through life without experiencing the agony of it all. And this is why it's great to be stupid. Right now, everyone is crying and moaning in agony, and I have no idea why. The landlord is such a nice person. He's allowed some more floor space and to open the windows a little bit. He's so nice that he's allowed us to breathe some actual air from the outside instead of just whatever's in the room. The landlord has also given us some of his leftover food, and what a great gentleman he is. And he's also given us something to cover up the dead people. I'm so stupid that it saved me from actually knowing what's going on, and I'm so grateful for being stupid. Intelligent people are the most tortured in this world because they actually know what's going on and fully understand the consequences.
For me, because I'm stupid, I just go through life and it doesn't matter if it's ending or something's about to happen. I just go through it.
I'm also surprised to find that some people from third world countries are actually spoiled. They're from third world countries, so they should be accommodated to suffering, but here they are complaining and suffering. I always assumed anyone from a first world country to be spoiled compared to someone from a third world country. I guess I was wrong. Truly is great being here and just smiling while everyone else just seems to be suffering. I asked them if they wanted some of my stupidity, but they all seemed to ignore me. I'm just trying to help because whatever's bothering them is down to them being intelligent. Then the very nice landlord gave me a special book that only the illiterate read. I was so grateful, and I've never been able to read a book before due to my illiteracy. I couldn't believe that as soon as I opened this special book, I could read it and understand. The other people started screaming and I couldn't understand why. I couldn't believe that I was reading something and the other people were telling me to stop. Their screaming were really hurting my ears, but I kept on reading. I felt special being illiterate, and it's amazing being stupid. It truly is. I think it found me. When I was younger,
I could never sleep with my back facing the room. I was too afraid to roll over and see what, in my mind, was an old crooked hag crouching in the corner, not moving, but just watching. So, if I fell asleep facing the wall, I would awake and be unable to turn over because I knew what I would see, but also unable to sleep because I was terrified. I remember having a nightmare once when I was around 8 or so, and it was so affecting that I got out of bed and went to my mom's room to wake her up just to reassure me things were okay. She was asleep with her back facing me, and I remember standing there for a good few minutes unable to wake her because I was certain if she rolled over, it wouldn't be my mom that I saw. I went back to bed. I've always been big about security in terms of where I sleep at night. Since I was young, I'm unable to sleep unless I check each entry to the house and make sure it's locked, while also having to check each room to be certain nothing's already inside. I had a strange and overwhelming feeling last night that I haven't felt in a long time. I was sitting on my front porch and it was nightfall. I had the overwhelming feeling of unease and discomfort that I can only associate with how it feels after you awake from a nightmare. I wasn't drunk or doing any drugs. I didn't feel immediate danger, but my senses were on high alert. I brought this to my roommate's attention the following day in a passing conversation. She said maybe someone was watching me and that was the feeling I was getting. The last two nights since then, I sit on the porch, but I can only be comfortable if my back is facing the street. Because if it followed me, I still don't want to see it. I'd rather be afraid of the dark than see that fear in the light. I'm pretty sure it's just me. That's why I can never get away. Monsters aren't real. Monsters aren't real, Chelsea said. Mom said so. Is that so? He said while lifting the rainbow unicorn-themed covers.
Uh-huh.
And even if they were, I'm not afraid anymore because I have this. Chelsea raised the necklace of garlic in the air. Suddenly, a hand burst from the closet and snatched the garlic, throwing it out the window. There was no time for screams. Today, Chelsea learned a very valuable lesson. Vampires afraid of garlic is a myth. And the most important lesson, monsters are real. There is a mouth waiting for me. There is a mouth waiting for me beneath deep, murky water. A gaping chasm ringed with teeth, ready for the slaughter. I see it in my dreams at night, these visions of my death. I feel much more than just fright to think of my last breath. It isn't death, it isn't dying, that disturbs me so completely. The thing I find so terrifying is the thing that waits so deeply. I'm not afraid, but I pretend. For these visions from beyond tell me somehow that my end lies at the bottom of a pond. Sometimes there aren't any eyes when I see it as I sleep. A formless, nameless, flesh disguise for the thing beneath the deep. And other times I see them clearly, submerged but locked on me. Giant eyes, human nearly, always predatory. I try to not give the fear control, to give myself a break. But if I trip or stumble and roll and fall into a lake, there'll be a mouth waiting then, and I know that it's my fate. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know there's no escape. The Haunting Trick-or-Treat Dare. I remember that Halloween night like it was yesterday. The air was chilly, the leaves crunched beneath my feet, and a full moon cast eerie shadows across the quiet suburban street. I was determined to make this Halloween the best one yet, and that meant one thing: candy. Lots of it. I slipped into my Grim Reaper costume, the one with the tattered black cloak and the skeletal mask that sent shivers down my spine every time I looked in the mirror. I knew it would be a hit, a real showstopper. My friends had dared me to go to the creepy old house at the end of the street, the one that everyone said was haunted, and ring the doorbell. They said that if I did it, they'd give me all their candy. I was never one to back down from a dare, especially on Halloween. As I approached the ominous house, I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. The windows were shattered, and the paint was peeling off the walls. The overgrown garden was a tangle of thorns and weeds. It looked like something straight out of a horror movie, and I couldn't help but wonder if it was really haunted. Summoning all my courage, I stepped up to the creaky front porch. The wood groaned beneath my feet as I approached the door. I hesitated for a moment, then reached out and rang the doorbell. It echoed through the house like a funeral dirge, and I took a step back, my heart racing. Seconds turned into minutes. Just as I was about to give up and leave, the door slowly creaked open. It revealed a dark, musty hallway with cobwebs stretching from wall to wall. I couldn't see anyone inside, but I heard a faint whisper beckoning me to come in. I took a cautious step inside, my breath hitching in my throat. The door slammed shut behind me, making me jump. I spun around, but there was no way to open it from the inside. Panic surged through me as I realized I was trapped. The hallway stretched out in front of me, lit only by a dim, flickering candle on a dusty table. Portraits of long dead people lined the walls, their eyes following me as I walked by. The air grew colder with every step, and I could hear the faint sound of laughter echoing from somewhere deep within the house. I forced myself to continue down the hallway, my footsteps echoing loudly in the silence. The house seemed to go on forever, twisting and turning like a maze. Every room I entered was empty, but I could feel a presence watching me, lurking in the shadows. I finally stumbled upon a room that sent shivers down my spine. It was a child's bedroom, filled with faded toys and old, torn posters. But what caught my attention was the bed, which was adorned with a tattered, blood-stained sheet. My heart pounded in my chest as I turned to leave the room, but the door slammed shut with a deafening crash. I rushed to the door and pulled at the handle, but it wouldn't budge. I was trapped once again. As I turned around, I froze in terror. A ghostly figure stood at the foot of the bed, a small child with hollow eyes and a twisted smile.
"You shouldn't have come here,"
it whispered, its voice a chilling whisper that sent shivers down my spine. I stumbled backward, my heart racing. "Who are you? What do you want?" I stammered. The figure's smile widened, revealing rows of sharp, needle-like teeth.
"We want to play,"
it hissed, and suddenly, the room was filled with a chorus of eerie laughter. I turned and bolted for the window, desperate to escape. I threw it open and climbed out onto the roof, the cold wind whipping through my cloak. I didn't care about the candy anymore. I just wanted to get out of that house. As I made my way across the roof, I could hear the ghostly laughter echoing from inside. It seemed to be coming from all around me, as if the very walls of the house were alive with malevolent spirits. I reached the edge of the roof and jumped down, landing in a thorny bush with a painful thud. I scrambled to my feet and ran as fast as I could, not daring to look back. When I finally reached the safety of my own front porch, I collapsed. Gasping for breath, I had escaped the haunted house. But the memory of that night would haunt me forever. Years have passed since that Halloween night, but I still can't shake the feeling that something evil lingers in that old house. Every Halloween, as I hand out candy to trick-or-treaters, I can't help but wonder if one of them will be tempted to ring the doorbell and enter that house of horrors just as I did. I can only hope that they'll be smarter than I was and resist the dare. For I know all too well that some dares are better left unfulfilled.
That's going to be it for this episode of Spooky Tales. I know it's coming out way past Halloween, but life's gotten a bit busier for me lately. So busy, in fact, that as you can hear, I'm using an AI-generated voice for the outro. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop the show. It just means that every now and then, episodes will come out later than I'd like them to. I'm hoping to work on a Christmas-themed episode soon, so be on the lookout for that. Make sure you're following the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss out on that episode. I hope you all had a fun and safe Halloween, and I will see you in the next episode. Later.